This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here's the snap. Mayfield back to pass. Looking left. In trouble. Hit in the backfield. And he will flip it out to White, who makes the catch. Breaks a tackle across the 30. Out to the 32. The ball came out. And the Cowboys have it. The Cowboys took it away.
Ryan Radke on Westwood One. Yeah, Deron Bland stripped Rashad White, and the Dallas Cowboys held on for yet another win. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. If you're keeping track at home, two things are true. The Cowboys are eliminated from the playoffs, and the Cowboys have won four of their last five.
And we're
not sure if Mike McCarthy's going to be back. And you know what? He's making a strong case. And here's why. First of all, I don't think Jerry Jones necessarily wants to start over with a new coach. So I think the incumbent, you know, we talk about this with politics, how the incumbent kind of has a little bit of a leg up. I think the incumbent, Mike McCarthy, has a bit of a leg up here. And I think Jerry is going to say, our defense got healthy and look how much better they got. So McCarthy and then bringing in Mike Zimmer looks like it's actually working. And two, you're doing this with a backup quarterback in Cooper Rush, and the team looks inspired. They have not quit on Mike McCarthy. I mean, the Bucs tried a furious comeback last night, and the Cowboys held them off.
No, you're absolutely right. But that doesn't mean any of this is good for Cowboys fans. So basically, we're running it back. You're right. Jerry likes comfortability. But where are we going as a franchise? They haven't won a Super Bowl since 95. They haven't really done anything since 95. And it just feels like more limbo. What are they going to be next year? At best, 12-5 and go out in the second round of the playoffs.
Listen, you're seeing like the vision of the roster a little bit more lately. It's just unfortunate that no one's healthy at the same time. So when you have Micah Parsons and you have DeMarcus Lawrence and Bland and all these guys battling injuries in the beginning of the season, they're getting blown out. Then later part of the season, no Dak Prescott, you know, and how are they going to, and they're still actually winning games kind of improbably. And so I think Jerry Jones would say, when we're all healthy, this does work. We've got a proof of concept that this is a 12-win team. Now, the playoffs, different story. And if you're just judging Mike McCarthy on the playoffs, well, then he's not in the playoffs. So I guess that's a fail. That's an F. But I don't think that Jerry Jones might look at these other coaching candidates and say, who are we replacing him with that is going to be the surefire upgrade? Bill Belichick is gone to Chapel Hill. You know, Ben Johnson, it looks like the, you know, offensive coordinator for the Lions, who's basically the hottest coordinator right now. It looks like maybe him and the Bears already, I don't know if they already have a, like, some kind of agreement, but like the two are circling each other.
Why can't they offer Ben Johnson?
You know, they said something last night on the broadcast that I thought was pretty smart.
I heard that. I know exactly where you're going, and I didn't agree with that at all, but go ahead.
Having head coaching experience helps when you have to deal with a organization like the Cowboys.
Has it helped? Jimmy Johnson had no head coaching experience, and he is the NFL head coach.
Yeah, in college.
Well, actually, you're right, the college. But it hasn't helped at all. I mean, they've had a ton of coaches with head coaching. Well, not really. They've brought in Chan Gailey, I guess, might have had some. Regardless. Like, that hasn't helped in the past. I don't know why you treat them like they're some different franchise. Like, bring in the best young coach. Let's build a Super Bowl champion.
Okay, but let's say you can't get Ben Johnson, right?
Okay.
And by the way, Ben Johnson, as I keep saying, this dude's never called a coin flip before in the NFL. So Yeez looks like a great offensive coordinator, and they did some funny, funky, tricky stuff yesterday. We'll talk about the Lions win over the Bears and then Minnesota winning over Seattle to sort of set up potentially a winner-take-all for the division in Week 18. We'll get to that in a little bit. But who's your next big guy? You're bringing in Kellen Moore back. You're bringing Cliff Kingsbury in. What are you doing?
Just bring whatever, the hot coordinator, somebody young, somebody different. Because, by the way, I'll give you a couple reasons they're not going 12-5 next year. First of all, you said the health was bad this year. You think Dak's getting healthier?
Well, that might have been a mistake, but that's not Mike McCarthy's mistake. That's Jerry's mistake to give him that money.
Their emerging superstar linebacker, DeMarvion Overshawn, he's not coming back for the beginning of next year. Guess who else is not coming back? Trayvon Diggs. We've got the health prognosis. He's not coming back for the beginning of next year. He's got some crazy bone graft surgery. Oof. And I got the worst news for you. I looked at their schedule next year. They have the NFC North and the AFC West. So that means they're playing the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos.
Listen, at least it will be a third place schedule. Can I give you that? It's not going to be a first place schedule like been playing.
They're in big trouble next year. They are not going to get to 12-5. I'm already telling Cowboys fans, like, the best it can be is 10-7 with Mike McCarthy. They're not getting
over
the Super Bowl.
You're telling people to pack it in for 2025? Yeah. We haven't finished 2024.
Hey, Cowboys fans know exactly what I'm talking about. If you run it back with Mike McCarthy and an older Dak Prescott, there is a ceiling on where you're going to go as a franchise. And we all know it. I mean, nobody's going to pick the Dallas Cowboys to win the Super Bowl next year. We know they're not going to do anything in the offseason. Look at last offseason. They're all in, men signing Eric Kendricks.
Well, and also re-signing Dak and CD. Now they've got to re-sign Parsons, who allegedly says he's not going to take every dollar and doesn't need to be the highest paid guy. We'll see if that ends up being true. And to be fair, the biggest thing that they have to fix is the run game. And that actually, and maybe a few more wide receivers. And
well, they fix that a little.
Right, but they need to, like, really fix it. I mean,
oh, I don't know. I feel like Rico
Dowdle.
Rico Dowdle is fine. I mean, he's better than fine. I'd say he's top half of the league running back now.
Yeah, I would probably shore that up if I were them. But again, these are things that are air quotes easy to fix. Running back, wide receiver, you can find those kind of difference makers. And if Michael Parsons makes this pretty easy with his contract, maybe you don't get this whole offseason of will they, won't they, and guys holding out and not being available. Listen, I'm going to call it now. McCarthy's back. I don't know if I want to show bet this thing. I still have a waffle bet that I got to pay off.
I'm not betting against you on that one.
Yeah, Dak Prescott means that I've got to eat 24 hours worth of waffles at a Waffle House.
At what point do the Cowboys become irrelevant? I think that's the real question. Like, is the shine off of it? Are they still going to be the number one most popular team in the NFL? I still think they probably are right around there. Maybe the Chiefs get more eyeballs, but it's borderline. I mean, if they
and the Chiefs needed their tight end to date the most famous person alive,
yes,
for them to even close the gap on
and two titles help. But yeah, there was
and
also
a dynasty.
But I just think that the Cowboys, if they run back Mike McCarthy, probably have another lame offseason, probably draft an interior offensive lineman, which I give them credit for. they do not care what's going on. They're drafting a lineman. At what point are we going to become bored of them? Even with the win last night, it felt a little empty to me.
It was an exciting game, though. 855-212-4227. Exciting game. Lots of hard hits. And then on the flip side, you know, for Tampa, obviously, now Atlanta is right back in this thing. Atlanta holds the tiebreakers. They're tied for record because Michael Penix took care of the Giants yesterday. And, yeah, we'll get into all those playoff scenarios.
Did you think that Tampa Bay was playing with a lack of urgency? Like, did they know their season was on the line? Did they know that Dallas, like, was depleted in this back half of their defense? Like, what were they doing?
I don't think it was about urgency. I thought their offensive line at times looked really stout, and other times Baker looked like he was underwater. I don't know. That's what I felt like. And I thought the Dallas Cowboys secondary really stepped up, and we already played that game-saving strip sack by fumble recovery. I don't know. How do you want to say that? Basically, Deron Bland took it away from Rashad White as the Bucs were trying to make a comeback.
Yeah, I thought the Bucs, when you saw when they, there was a 2-minute drive, I think, at the end of the first half, where they just like dropped back and threw the ball every play and they looked great. I just thought they think that they're a really good running team, which is fair. But once you're down to the Cowboys and the Cowboys were stacking the box, yep, they should have just opened the game up. I thought they were not playing like their season was on the line at all. And now it looks like they're in real trouble.
Yeah, I mean, Baker was. But at times I felt like he had no time.
Yeah.
And then he's trying to make something happen with his legs. And then you're talking
about... Well, yeah, but he held on to the ball a little bit too.
That's true. He was definitely looking for Evans, and why wouldn't you? But he was definitely like laser focused in on trying to find Mike Evans, and at times that didn't work.
Also, they were missing my guy, Cade Otton, over the middle. I love Cade Otton. You never heard me talk about Cade Otton, the Tampa Bay tight end? A huge Cade Otton fan.
You learned something new every day.
Oh, go back to the
Cade
real
Otton guy.
Oh, Cade Otton's fantastic.
Check the tape.
There were a lot of plays. Actually, the announcers talked about Cade a few times last night. There were a lot of plays where he needed a safety valve desperately, 5 yards in front because the rush was coming in, and he just didn't have a guy he trusted. So, yeah, also, I just don't like punting from the 45-yard line, like Todd Bowles stuff.
We saw a lot
hard,
of that yesterday.
Hard to watch.
Saw a lot of that yesterday. 855-212-4227. All right, so how does this set up? You know, here's basically, as I said, what's at stake. It looks like in the NFC, your Philadelphia Eagles probably gave away a shot at the number one overall seed yesterday. Not probably, I would say definitely.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts in concussion protocol. He got knocked out of the game in the first quarter. Washington ends up winning. So now it looks like it's going to come down to the Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings for that number one seed. Guys, just think about this. There's going to be a wild card team that's like a 14-win team.
Yeah,
could be a 14-win wild card team.
Yeah, I mean, again, the Vikings
going to play the Falcons.
The Vikings were a 13-win wild card team who got beat up by the Giants a couple years ago. So it's not radical, but yeah, I don't know what to do with these Vikings. They are the mystery of the NFL. I mean, are they good?
No, I don't care. Good. I don't think it's a mystery anymore.
Do you mean like good, like contender good?
I think they might be contender good.
Ooh.
I'm watching Sam Darnold throwing dimes. I'm like ready to just do the full mea culpa.
I got to see this Green Bay game because Green Bay is going to come out and just try and run it right down their throat. We'll see how the Vikings respond. It's kind of like a mini playoff run already. They got the Packers and the Lions.
Yep.
And we'll have a much better idea of where they are if they can hold those teams off. Because let's face it, they have won some ugly games over bad teams this year.
Also, the Rams keep their playoff hopes alive. Seahawks on total life support. And for our fans in California, mathematically eliminated yesterday, your San Francisco 49ers. And I bet if you gave the 49ers an option, they would be like, let's just end the year. Do we even have to play the last two games? There's no chance that they want. And it's not that they don't want the smoke. I'm not saying that. It's just everything that could go wrong has gone wrong for the 49ers. And if they could just all get to Cabo now, just heal up. This has been just a brutal season for the 49ers.
It was weird seeing Deebo Samuel actually try at football yesterday, though. Like, that was unusual. Like, you still have that skill and you mailed in this season. What was happening there, Maggie? That's like, I'm sorry. It's time to move on from him. That's move number one in the offseason.
Well,
because he was so good yesterday and like he was so average the entire season.
Listen, that's like storyline number 10 for the 49ers.
Oh,
they've got so many other things. This will be the offseason of will they, won't they, Brock Purdy. And the thing is, will they sign him, won't they sign him to a big deal? And here's the thing about the 49ers and all of their contract stuff. It lingers. They couldn't get something done with Nick Bosa until basically into the preseason. Like, you think that the Brock Purdy thing's going to happen quickly? I don't. I think this is going to just drag and drag because whether it's NFL insiders or whoever, Brock Purdy's people are getting the word out. Just because he was Mr. Irrelevant doesn't mean we're taking a Mr. Irrelevant contract.
You're right about Purdy, but I would think Debo's the 1B because I really think they're going to. But they might cut him this offseason.
But that's easy, right? Just cut him.
And he is, in many ways, like, you could see the players, they respond to Debo. Like, he is the heart and soul of that team, to use a cliche. Like, how he goes, they go. I think he's a big deal in that building. I really do. And if they cut him, I think that's a very big deal, too. But we'll see. They might not.
I don't think so. And listen, it's not a disrespect on Debo, and they've been trying to trade him, I think, for the last two off seasons and couldn't, either was asking for too much or couldn't find the right partner or whatever. But if you're the 49ers, are you really hurting for voices and captains and tone setters? I mean, you've got McCaffrey, who isn't going anywhere.
He's a mute, but go ahead.
Well, what I'm just saying, you have Kittle. He's not a mute.
Yeah, but he's Mr. Fun Guy.
Trent Williams has a ton of respect.
I can't remember more than one Trent Williams interview, but please.
He's carrying the boombox into the games. I mean, he's a factor. Can I give you a Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw? Can I give you Nick Bosa? Can I give you, how about just the coaches, Shanahan? Like, this is not a team that should be hurting for leadership.
Yeah,
it's a veteran team.
But Debo is a much more powerful personality than almost all those guys. I think.
But is that always a good thing?
He's choking out the long snapper.
Like, maybe this isn't the best guy. And I think he's fun. It's not personal. It's just,
no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think they might cut him this offseason, which would be a huge deal. Like, I think we'll see a new version of the Niners. They do feel like they need some kind of refresh. I don't know exactly how you do it because they're cap strung, but I think as Debo goes, the Niners go. I think all those issues are, all those guys are big, and as Bosa goes, like, they need a healthy Bosa, and he's getting a little old, Maggie.
Can we put up a poll question? Just because they are rivals and they've met each other in the playoffs so many times, more interesting offseason, something like that, 49ers or Cowboys? Who's got more moves to make? Who needs a bigger makeover or something? Because I think the 49er fans out there, like, you always held this sort of air of superiority over the Cowboys lately. And I'm not saying you didn't earn it. You beat them in the playoffs. You beat them in times where you had to go into Dallas with Jimmy Garoppolo and you beat them. You know, you've had the advantage, but here you both are. Same thing. Missed the playoffs. A lot of injuries, you know. At least the 49ers kept their quarterback the entire season. So I'm just curious, like, where are the 49er fans right now? Where are the Cowboy fans right now? Because these are both probably pretty big off seasons.
Well, yes and no. Like, how much? The question is, how much can they actually do? The Niners don't have a ton of space. I don't see the Cowboys doing anything this offseason.
Cowboys have a big decision to make on coach. 49ers have a big decision to make on quarterback. I mean, these are two of the biggest decisions you can make as a football team.
They're bringing Purdy back, and you nailed it. They're bringing back McCarthy. The Cowboys, you can expect all you want for something. We'll talk about them all offseason. They end up doing nothing. When in crisis, do nothing. That's the Cowboys' motto.
855-212-4227. All right, we've got to get to the college football playoff. Manny, can you cue up a sad trombone or something? Womp, womp. We're so thank you.
The sound effect.
Look at Manny. He's got so many talents. We've been just scratching the surface here with Manny. I mean, we were excited for this, and then the games happen. Whoops. Not so awesome. I'm going to defend it, though. This is not the committee's fault. They didn't get the teams wrong.
Yeah, right.
We'll get to the college football, okay. The disdain.
You tune in for Maggie to defend the indefensible coming up next.
Defend the committee. It's always a fun place to be. M&P, let's go.
Maggie, I had a great night last night because I picked CeeDee Lamb to go over on yards, on Prize Picks, the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Over 10 million members. Billions of dollars in award winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. So simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 1,000 times your money. And it is the season for Prize Picks.
We call it Picksmas around here. That's December. And right now, Prize Picks is giving away 2 free picks in this holiday month. Got to download the Prize Picks app today. By the way, if you're in California or Texas, Prize Picks available to you. More than 40 states have Prize Picks. See if it's in your state. By the way, we should get some kind of special alarm that goes on when you can put together Jordan Love more than 231.5 passing yards with Gogo Batazzi more than 9.5 rebounds. Because Batazzi's been a little bit of a... He's like the patron saint of the show in many ways. We do love him. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MMP. Get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MMP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game, must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back. Oh, are we doing the Christmas thing today?
I'd hope so. Manny's got a Santa hat on. Seems a little itchy. You okay?
I'll be all right.
I tell you one thing that was not a great holiday present was the crappy college football playoff first weekend. Oof. If you like change, though, I think you're happy about what happened because they're going to blow the system up sooner rather than later.
Right, so all 4 games ended up being at least double-digit losses. All of them, except for Clemson and Texas, which at a moment where it was a 1-score game, you thought maybe. but there was nothing that Clemson could do to stop Texas on the ground. So as soon as they pulled it to within one score, boom, next drive, running back Jaden Blue ends up taking the ball 77 yards to the house, and it was back to the blowout. But here's the thing I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear from people that the teams were the wrong team.
You don't want to hear obvious common sense?
Nope, because here's the thing. People were making the argument, and I saw Lane Kiffin on social media clowning these blowouts when it was Indiana getting blown out and when it was SMU getting blown out. But Tennessee also got blown out. So here's the thing about these first-round games, Pearl. Did you know that the average margin of victory in this college football playoff was about 18 points. Average margin of victory, 18 points. You want to know what it's been for the college football playoff when it was four teams for the last decade?
Yes.
17 points. It's the same, guys. When it was four teams, the average margin of victory was 17 points. And that, or eight, yeah, 17. And this week it was 18. It's the same. There are blowouts in the first rounds, and all those teams were the blue blood teams. And it is the Alabamas and Clemsons back when Dabo was really in the thick of it, and the Oklahomas and the Georgias, the Ohio States. Nobody has been immune to this. So I don't want to hear that it was, oh, if Alabama had only been in this field, if Ole Miss had only been in this field. Well, Tennessee beat Alabama, and they got their doors blown off at Ohio State. So I really don't want to hear that the committee was wrong. We can talk about the format. Fine. The format, should Arizona State and Boise State have automatic buys? Like, let's talk about that till the cows come home. But just because there were blowouts doesn't mean this doesn't work, because there's been blowouts when it was a four-team playoff for years.
Well, it's a wrong field. And anybody who saw Notre Dame play Indiana, that was it. Like that, and even to have the announcers come out and say, this is the end of this format. Like, they ignored strength of schedule. They just said, it doesn't matter who you play. If you have the wins, we're putting you in. They just can't do that moving forward because they're not going to have close games. Honestly, Ole Miss, Alabama, South Carolina, and Miami could beat a ton of teams in this 12 field. They would have probably killed some of these teams. So, first of all, I think they're going to expand to 14 for that very reason soon. I think that they're going to give the SEC more buys, maybe the Big Ten, although I don't know about the Big Ten, and they're going to make this more top heavy. Like, I love all these Cinderellas in here, but it didn't work out this year.
Okay, but it was top heavy when it was four teams.
Well, yeah, right.
And
but
those
that's
teams would
Oklahoma,
get blown out.
That's mainly because Oklahoma kept running the Big 12 and losing in the first round.
Nope, Ohio State got blown out.
But
Alabama's gotten blown out. Notre Dame's gotten blown out. What? Michigan's gotten blown out. Oregon's gotten blown out. When it was a four-team playoff, all these teams at one point or another got blown out.
When did Ohio State get blown out? You mean the Clemson game?
Ohio State lost to Alabama 52-24 in 2020.
Yeah, because Fields had like was almost dead in that game. That
2016, they lost to Clemson 31-0. I mean, nobody's immune from it is what I'm saying. And I think that this happens sometimes. And now we're all quick to say, listen, I was never an Indiana defender from the jump, right? I got labeled as the Indiana hater. And I wore that. And so I'm not reveling in this, but I'm just saying that blowouts are a thing that happened long before we got to 12 teams. And in some ways, maybe it's our bad, because we probably should have seen this coming a little bit more, that these blowouts are going to happen. And the fact that Tennessee got blown out throws everybody's argument right into the sun. Because they were an SEC team who were beaten and deserved to be there. Nobody thought that as an at-large bid, Tennessee should not have been in the field. You can't put them in over Alabama. They beat Alabama.
In Tennessee. But
who cares? And where else are they going to play
system,
on the moon?
The system is obviously broken. Obviously, they messed this whole thing up. Like, the lack of schedule equanimity is overwhelming. Like, basically, the key to get into the 12-team playoff is just play nobody. And everybody saw that. And, like, what does that do for your sport? Long-term, it waters down your sport. Like, they have to protect this thing. They can't have teams just playing the bottom of the Big Ten, which must be so awful. It's unbelievable. It just can't do this moving forward. People are going to lose interest in the sport. That was not good.
Yeah, but, again, we saw blowouts when it was a 4-team playoff, and did anyone lose interest? No, the sport's bigger than ever. And yeah, last year, the semifinals were both awesome, right? We're watching Alabama go down to the wire with Michigan. But let's not forget, we've seen a lot of blowouts in the past, and all we did was just clamor for more football.
Yeah, I
just don't
you
think
keep
this
coming
team
back
has a Cinderella.
To this Final Four. I'm not sure what difference that makes because honestly, like Alabama would have been an 11-point favorite over Indiana. I think Ole Miss would have been a huge favorite over a bunch of teams in here. I don't think even the teams at the top. I don't think Penn State's any good either. I want to see a much more NFL-like schedule for these teams. Like, it's ridiculous how easy these schedules are. It's kind of, like, disappointing as a fan just to see you get in by beating the Marylands of the world who are not competitive. Something has to change, and I think it will change. Like, I think there'll be some change this year, then just total change by 2026.
So are we talking about the college football playoff and how disappointing the first round matchups were because they were basically all blowouts? But here's the thing about, like, the precious NFL with their schedule.
Yeah,
do you want to know?
Precious. You mean awesome? I think we're yeah.
Okay. Do you know what the average margin of victory was in the wild card games last year? 17 points. Blowouts happen. This is sports. We can't script it. And sometimes this is just the first round. You get first of all, the home field advantages, I think, were massive. I do think the weather played in. I mean, how cold did Tennessee look? Like, pretty cold. And I know it gets cold in Tennessee, but not like that. Not Ohio in the middle of December cold.
I think it was 27 in Tennessee that night, but yeah.
Well, didn't they look cold to you?
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State, I can't believe that they weren't cold.
They look great,
actually. Play like a Florida team. They have all Florida players.
Their offense finally got going, and we saw like the full complement. So I think that we're so quick to say, man, if only Alabama and Ole Miss had been in there. Well, Tennessee was there, and it was a laugher. They got outgained like 200-16 in the first quarter.
Let me ask you a question, Maggie. Would you have wanted to see Miami in this 12-team playoff?
I did, but you want to be honest? EJ said it. It was hard to stump for Miami.
Would you want to see Alabama in this 12-team playoff?
Listen, Pearl.
Yes or no?
Whether or not I want to, it was hard to make a case for Alabama.
Would you want to see a very good Ole Miss team in this 12-team playoff?
I made a case for Ole Miss, and you guys told me to go kick rocks because they lost to Florida on the road. They lost to Kentucky at home.
Throw Penn State in the SEC. Let's see if they're in this playoff. By the way, that team... Oh my God, are they overrated? They might win more games, but they're hard to watch. There's no way. There is no way that team with James Franklin wins the whole thing. He has no idea what's going on.
Well, they look pretty good against SMU.
Did they? I mean, honestly.
Yeah, they had the game in hand. I mean, Kevin Jennings, the quarterback for SMU, didn't know what planet he was on.
Yeah, I think the defense looked good. I think James Frank, maybe it was so cold that nobody could do anything, but I didn't think Penn State was overwhelming. I just think that there is just such an imbalance of scheduling. Like, it's kind of a joke. Like, I think people are looking at the sports and like, oh, okay, well, maybe next year, like, somebody will just play nothing but bottom feeders. Why would anyone schedule anyone the first three games?
Oh, like, well, that's what the SEC said. They're like, well, we're never going to play to a non-conference. It's like, well, we watch Alabama play Mercer at the end of the season, so I don't know.
Well, like, they've been doing that game for years. But
it just, I've been watching them play Little Sisters of the Poor, walkovers, whatever, since the beginning of time. So I don't know if that was such a big threat. I guess the other part, too, is if you're not going to count wins and losses, I saw Kirk Herbstreit went on a big rant about this, you know, that not all records are created equal, and that's what you're saying, too.
Yeah.
And I understand it. But at some point, the wins and losses have to matter. At some point, they do. Well, like, Tennessee beat Alabama. Ipso facto, Tennessee deserved to be in this 12-team bracket more than Bama did. And by the way, Bama could have gotten blown out, too, because we watched them basically get blown out at Oklahoma.
Well, all I'm going to say is I think next year's bracket is going to be so much better when you get when they start putting more value on the strength of win. And I think they could expand fast. I read somewhere that I think 14's in play early as next year. I think it's going to get way better. This was an experimental year. It failed. And next year and 2026 is going to be amazing. And I would honestly, get all those SEC teams in there just to see it and go to 16. I would love to see South Carolina in this tournament. I would love to see Ole Miss in this tournament.
You were disparaging South Carolina. I said they were one of the hottest teams in the country. You're like,
I mean, they beat a crappy Clemson team who is in this thing.
Well, Clemson won the ACC, so.
Yeah, I think that they are, this year, they tried this format. It was a bomb. Next year, it's going to be better. And then 2026, it's going to be awesome.
Listen, I agree that this was disappointing, but you're never going to be able to guard against blowouts. because they happen even when it's the best teams.
Right, but Indiana, like, they clearly didn't belong on that field. That was like, that wasn't just a blowout. That was just like, this is not good football. And honestly, Notre Dame didn't look perfect either, but Indiana was like, they don't belong here. That was so obvious.
855-212-4227. I was called a hater for that take most of the month of November. Anyway, 855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in on the college football playoff. Bogues is here. He's got headlines for us. What's up?
Guys, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off unlimited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. Bogus. And just like that, the Bucs are no longer in the driver's seat in the NFC. South head coach Todd Bowles after last night's 26-24 loss in Dallas.
We lost. We fell back in the pack. We got to eat it. Can't spend too much time on it. We had our chances. We had our chances just like everybody else, but it's a long season. We got two more games to go. We got to take care of us and then let everything else take care of itself.
Bowles' problems began in the afternoon because the Falcons kept doing this.
And here goes Locke looking to the near side. That got batted in the air and intercepted. Matthew Judon, another pick six and a touchdown.
Wes Durham on Falcons radio, the Atlanta D, two pick sixes to make a winner of Michael Penix in his debut 34-7 over the Giants. So the Falcons and Buccaneers now both 8-7 this morning, but Atlanta owns their tiebreaker, so they now control the division again because the Bucs lost to a Cowboys team who was eliminated from playoff contention before opening kickoff last night because the Commanders rallied past the Eagles in the afternoon. The Niners were eliminated by Washington and the Rams winning, and the Cardinals eliminated by Chuba Hubbard.
Three tight ends to the right. Here's the snap. They give to Hubbard over the right side. Breaks a tackle. 10-5. High step. Touchdown, Chuba Hubbard. And the Panthers win in overtime.
That's Anish Shroff on Panthers Radio. Arizona losing 36-30 in OT in Carolina to drop to 7-8 out of contention. Kyler Murray threw a bad pick in the fourth, but did drive for the tying field goal to close regulation and couldn't do anything with the Cards' OT possession.
Going forward, we got control we can control, and that's coming to work every day, playing the game of football, playing the game that we love, and going out there and trying to win.
And we do have the Bengals, who kept themselves alive with a 24-6 decision over the Browns yesterday. Joe Burrow, his seventh straight game of three or more TD passes.
I have a poll question. Which is a more glum quarterback situation? A short Kyler Murray, who obviously is not going to be able to get it done, or a short Bryce Young, who now everyone is going to overhype and is going to stay the Panthers quarterback? Because honestly, I know the Bryce Young hype is coming, and just look at his numbers. That's all I have to say. Before you say Bryce Young should come back next year, just Google his stats.
He's definitely the quarterback next year.
100%. Yeah. He ranks, Googled his age?
He ranks 38th in the league in yards per game. Even yesterday against Cardinals, who are not a good team, he threw for 157 yards.
Cardinals are better than his team, and they won.
Right.
Like, Cardinals stink.
And Schubert ran for 150. That's why he had to throw for more than 157.
Did you watch the Dallas game last week? Like, that is who you're building. I'm telling you.
Dallas gave Baker Mayfield problems last night.
The Bucs were rolling until last night. So maybe the Cowboys are good on defense.
Right.
Show me. I just look at the numbers and tell me, like, are you excited next year?
You keep saying the Chiefs didn't show up, so therefore it doesn't count. Like, it's not fair to do that. Keep saying, show me the good game. When we show you the great game he had, you say, well, that doesn't count because the Chiefs don't care about the regular season.
So
you
eliminate that's a fact.
Game. Yeah, but you're eliminating a game against the defending champs.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, enjoy the hype. Enjoy bringing Bryce Young back next year. Enjoy being 6-11 next year.
By the
way, love to be 6-11 next year.
Is that the goal?
They've won, what, three games? The one thing about what's really helping Bryce Young is the fact that this is not a heavy quarterback class. If this had been a class like last year where six guys are going to the first round, then he'd probably be in trouble.
Well, the reason he was good yesterday was he ran like crazy. Like, and you think that's going to last?
Yeah, I think that's who he is. He's a baby. It's year two. Like, and year one was a complete and utter disaster. And we're living in a world where Sam Darnold is going to get MVP votes, so the Panthers should absolutely let Bryce Young try to be their quarterback next year in a second year with a smart head coach.
All right, we'll see.
It still might not work, but the idea that he's cooked and done right now is crazy.
He had to run a lot yesterday, and I just get nervous about that with him.
The only thing about it is I was watching Bryce Young, and yeah, that was a fun-ish game, and he's been playing better. But then I saw Michael Penix, and I know it was against the Giants, and the Giants have totally waved the white flag on the season, but I was like, ooh, Penix.
Yeah, but
that's I want that guy.
What happened to Penix pushing the ball downfield, by the way?
I said Penix.
What happened to that narrative that he was going to push the ball downfield? I saw
he didn't have to.
30 screen passes. So how do we know Penix is good? You guys were hyped on Penix in the pre-production call. I was like, what? I didn't see much of anything.
He looked good to me. But again, the Giants are the Giants are impossible to watch right now. The fact that I bet an over on that game was the dumbest thing. I took 5 years off of my life because I have to watch the Giants. The final drive where I needed them to score a touchdown to get the over, every single player on the offensive line got called for some kind of penalty.
You should lose double for relying on the Giants.
I did.
You had a better chance of the Falcons scoring another touchdown on defense.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, could there be another pick six?
Who was the analyst of that game?
Wasn't Sanchez, was it?
No, Sanchez had a good game.
And it wasn't Chris Myers. He was in the that Cardinal game.
I think Ross Tucker had the Colts Titans, right?
Yes, and Kenny Albert had a different game.
Oh, it was Darryl Johnson.
Okay. Moose made me hate Penix.
Yeah.
Because Moose was sweating him so hard. Do you see the ball placement? Do you see the ball placement? Like, I wanted to punch him. I think he played well, but Darryl Johnson was was pushing it too far in the other direction by loving him so hard.
Do you realize the old man strength that Moose Johnson must have? If you punched him, he would end your life.
You would break your hand right on his jaw.
I think I said I would punch him, like theoretically. In reality, I'd compliment him on his Christmas jacket.
Is he 60? I would take him 2-1 over every. He can fight all five of us.
Yeah, it'd take the Avengers to take him down.
He's like the nicest guy. He would never fight anybody. Not in a million years.
Just let me punch him and fail.
Like, find somebody to say a mean word about Moose Johnson.
I just did.
Yeah. Oh, that he overloved Michael Penix?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the best I got. Steve Belichick is expected to become his dad's D coordinator at North Carolina after Washington plays its bowl game on New Year's Eve. That's when his $1.2 million buyout goes away. Do we still need clarity, though, on whether he's officially the coach in waiting? Did we ever?
You know, I don't think we ever got clarity on that. And by the way, I saw this headline. I was like, no kidding. I thought this already happened.
Well, Washington apparently is acting as if it did. They've already talked to people who will replace him. So,
of course.
Yeah.
I don't think your dad becomes the head coach somewhere and you've been coaching for him your whole life. And you're going to go like, let me see how it goes.
But is Washington holding out for a $1.2 million check from North Carolina? That's why the Turtles are waiting to get this done with.
I think they're just waiting for the bowl game to be over.
Buyouts on quarterbacks?
Yeah, he has a buyout that expires when the season ends, I guess. So that's what they're just waiting to not have to write any kind of check. Couldn't Washington just waive that and let him go about their business?
Listen, they're going to need him for the Cheez-Its Bowl. I don't even know what the
they're
Washington
in the Tony Tiger's Sun Bowl.
Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. Yeah. My favorite bowl.
Some breaking news overnight from baseball. The Mets re-signing lefty starter Sean Manaea, 3 years, $75 million. He is the fourth pitcher this offseason to get a deal averaging $25 million annually. A light Sunday in the NBA. The Nuggets rallying for a 132-129 win in OT in New Orleans. Nikola Jokic, 27 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. And Penn State beat Louisville in four sets to win the eighth women's volleyball national title in school history. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you. Had some big injuries yesterday to some starting QBs. We'll unpack that next. It's M&P 855-212-4227. Ooh, Penix. Thank you, Manny. It's 5 degrees right now where we are. Could be better. Welcome to the show. Maggie and Perloff got a lot for you, including some quarterback injuries that we will get to in just a moment. We've been talking about the college football playoff first round games. Pearl, total dud. You think it was the fault of the committee? They picked the wrong teams. I think it's just blowouts. Blowouts happen when it was a 4-team playoff. Blowouts are going to happen when it's a 12-team playoff and 14 and 16 and 18 and 68. Derek is in San Diego, wants to talk about it. Hey, Derek, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Excellent. Hey, what is all the hate about? Look, the best three college football teams are still left in the playoffs. I agree with you. Indiana didn't belong. Southern Methodist didn't belong. But at the end of the day, Oregon, Georgia, and Ohio State are still involved in the college football playoff. They are the best three teams in college football, so who cares? This Alabama, nobody cares about Alabama. They lost three games, and two of them were embarrassing. the Southeastern Conference still has Georgia. So all the Southeastern Conference love, you still have the Georgia Bulldogs. Good for you. But you know what? The Southeastern Conference reign is over.
Derek, are you afraid
of... The Big Ten and the Big 12 are in.
Are you afraid of using initials for anything? Like, say, SMU and SEC? I love that you spell it out. It makes it sound more...
Very formal.
Yeah, and it makes it sound like your point, I'm sold just because you keep saying all the full names.
Well, I mean, I'm the biggest Oregon Duck lover in the world. But, yeah. And so I'm really happy that they're there. But you know what? They have the parameters that they have. So Indiana got in. Southern Methodist got in. Good for them. They lost. Good. They're gone. Tennessee, gone. The best three teams are still there.
I know, Derek, but why I was bummed for Oregon is, so Ohio State obviously looked great. Their offense clicking. They wipe out Tennessee. It's not even a competitive game. And now Oregon, congrats. You're the number one overall seed. Now you got to face Ohio State. Feels unfair.
Again, yeah.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. The last time I checked, Oregon beat Ohio State 32-31 at Oregon. And guess what? The Rose Bowl, which I'll be at. Good for you, Ohio State. That's awesome. They're one of the three best teams of the country. This is what it should be.
Well, Maggie's saying they should.
Oregon had an easier march to the title. Yeah, they probably should have been in the other bracket, but who cares? If you want to win the Natty, you have to beat everybody. Yeah. Oregon is not afraid to play Ohio State, so good for us. Ohio State.
Should be in the title game, though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. But, Derek, thanks for the call, and also just for all of our Oregon fans, just a programming note, Harold Reynolds, who is obviously a Eugene native and massive Ducks fan, is going to join us a little later in the show to remember the life of Ricky Henderson. Let's go to Dee, who's in Oregon. Dee's our Oregon-based Eagles fan. And of course,
Oregon and Ducks fan.
And Ducks. Of course, Dee, how could I shortchange you there? And you watch Jalen Hurts leave the game with a concussion. Prof, we haven't even gotten your thoughts really on this, but yeah. Dee, what do you have?
Yeah, I just feel like when that happened, man, like C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Jalen Carter, you guys got to be on your guys' best behavior, man. Like the referees were giving you guys penalties, like, and then on the other side, like, they were, I don't know, I don't want to say helping them with the whole A.J. Brown, like, two back-to-back penalties, but come on, guys, we need you guys, especially when Jalen Hurts gets hurt. Like, it takes the full team, and then you guys are, like, mouthing off, pointing to the other players. Like, come on, man. I mean, you can talk-ish, but don't be pointing at them. Like, and it's constant with C.J. Gardner. Like, I've noticed that. And about Jalen Carter. And like, I get it. That's how they play. That's cool and all, but come on, man. Like, read the room. Like, we need you guys there. The QB just got hurt. I don't know, man. Just frustrating. You know, I was watching that game. I was like, come on. And I get it, those two drops at the end with
Devontae
Brown. That didn't help. But, like, we need you guys. You need to be in the game.
Yeah, so C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, Dee. I know I can hear the exasperation in your voice, and I get it. Jalen Hurts leaves in the first quarter with a concussion. C.J. Gardner-Johnson gets ejected from the game. Could have used him, and the Eagles also had 10 penalties yesterday, and some of them were pretty dumb.
Yeah, this is why I'm okay with the loss. Jalen Carter needed this. Like, he needs a wake-up call. Like, get that personal foul out of the way now. Because he cannot, I mean, he's exactly right. Like, he can't do that in the playoffs. Like, you, Jalen Carter and C.J. Gardner-Johnson are the two, like, attitude guys on that defense. Like, they need to really, really button it up and play their best game. So, I think it is a bit of a coachable moment. I'm hoping, you know, I'm squinting and trying to say that. I mean, the one thing, like, Kenny Pickett, dude, you got to feel the pressure just once. Just once in the game, could you understand, like, To me, one of my takeaways was, wow, we undervalue Jalen Hurts. Like, he does so much for that offense that I don't think people appreciate. Like, he is so good at handling the pass rush, and Kenny Pickett was so bad. In fact, like, we were lucky, the Eagles, that he didn't have five turnovers because he was an adventure. And I know he's hurt, too. I honestly would like to take a look at Tanner McKee as the backup over Pickett. I just think Pickett's too dangerous.
It looked like at one point he was holding his ribs, like, back in place. I don't know what the actual injury designation was. I think he's going to be okay. But if Jalen Hurts can't come back, bro, that's it. You're not going to the Super Bowl without Jalen Hurts.
Absolutely. But why would he not come back? He got a concussion. It wasn't that hard of a hit. He gave a thumbs up to the official. He thought he was going back in the game. Like, what's going on here? I'm very curious.
I don't know. We're going to have to get some more on Jalen Hurts and his head injury. 855-212-4227. Coming up, who had the worst loss in the college football playoff? We've got some doozies to choose from, that's for sure. M&P.